Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint, powered by Manx Telecom.
Pastor Mike, good evening. It's 5:30. This is update for Monday, 11th of January, 2021 from Manx Radio. 30 minutes to look at the latest news on the island. And background to the news, sport, business, Sea-Watch, travel updates, and the newsmakers in person tonight. Yes, 7 new cases of COVID-19. That's 27 non-community isolating cases, none in Nobles. Lockdown measures have been tightened. Chris Thomas, MHK, wants COVID collaboration and transparency. The island launches a flood plan for the next 100 years. And the first candidate for the 2021 general election declares for Douglas South. All on lockdown 2, day 5.
And Benham Advocates for your legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the update news headlines. Fastamai, Lewis Foster.
Fastamai. There are 7 new cases of COVID-19 on the island. The total number of active cases now stands at 27, of which 9 were detected from a day 1, 7 or 13 test from an individual in isolation. Meanwhile, it was announced at the latest government conference that the island's lockdown restrictions will tighten. Parents are asked to keep their children at home from the hub schools unless absolutely necessary, while secondary school pupils and staff are strongly advised to wear face coverings. Garden centres, hardware stores and builders' merchants are to close, with the exception of click and collect services for tradespeople. It was also announced that all the tests from St. Mary's Primary School have come back negative following a student's positive result over the weekend. The pupil at the Douglas Primary had attended classes at the hub school on Tuesday and Wednesday last week. Further afield, Boris Johnson's warned tougher lockdown measures may be needed in England, insisting now is the time for maximum vigilance. He's facing calls to tighten restrictions to drive down coronavirus infection rates. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister's also revealed around 40% of 80-year-olds in the UK have now received a COVID-19 jab. About 2.4 million doses have been given in total. And the Chancellor's warned the UK's economy will get worse before it gets better. Rishi Sunak says the third national lockdown will have a significant impact. Those are the headlines. I'll be back with more at 6 o'clock.
Man Benham can provide guidance over the phone, by video call and email. We'd be happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
Jeremiah, thank you, Lewis. From the Ronalds Way Met Office, some strong winds out in the North Irish Sea, and there's fog on the mountain. If you're driving or heading that way, the Matrix signs say fog on the mountain. More rain coming in on the strong southwest wind after dark. Clearing overnight down to 2 degrees, possibility of icy conditions. And Tuesday, Jemert will dawn cold and icy, then dry and sunny in a light northerly. Daytime maximum 6 degrees. It will be intermittent rain after dark tomorrow. Overnight minimum is 1 degree. And Wednesday, Ukraine, wet start with sleet or snow over high ground, then milder as the day progresses. Top temperature 10 degrees on Wednesday. High water 9:09 tonight. Low water overnight 5:19. Sunrise 8:28 tomorrow morning. And the morning high tide 11:22.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
So there are 7 new cases of COVID-19 on the Isle of Man. There was confusion at today's government media conference as the numbers changed more than once. The Health Minister first said there were 6 new cases. Updated figures since confirm 7. On active cases, it was initially announced there are 21 active. It's actually 27 active. So 7 new cases, 27 active cases. Nobody in Nobles, all self-isolating. And new measures are coming in as COVID's spreading in the Manx community. The Chief Minister, Howard Quayle, spoke at this afternoon's media briefing. He said all the tests from contact tracing at St. Mary's Primary School have come back negative following a student's positive result over the weekend. But Mr. Quayle says the changes are happening.
We can get back to normal, but only if we get the next 2 weeks absolutely right. The Council of Ministers decided this morning to revise a number of the measures we have in place. These will come into effect from 11:01 Wednesday night into Thursday morning. Let me start with education. In those education facilities that are still open, we will be further tightening our processes. The first point is to make is why the hubs are there. They are there for vulnerable children and the children of essential workers when this is essential, where they have no alternative possible arrangements. We will be reinforcing bubbles within schools. This is about keeping together children of the same age groups or those who have come to the hub from the same school. We will be issuing further advice on face coverings in schools today. This will continue to strongly advise face coverings for all adults and secondary age students where they can. We do have a small number of face coverings available, but our preference would be that students bring their own. If primary age children have a mask of their own, we would encourage them to wear it also. We have also considered whether we need to make changes to the retail. We were satisfied that, broadly speaking, people and businesses are following the current guidance. We are not proposing major changes to current measures, but we will be requiring garden centres to close. We will also require all hardware and building supplies to close to the general public. They can remain open for trade customers. They can continue to offer click and collect services to others. The message here is clear. Essential shopping is allowed, but please do not go shopping for things that are not essential.
Manx Radio's update with Andy Wint.
Good evening, it's 23 minutes before 6. An MHK is calling for an update from the Council of Ministers on plans to set up a COVID emergency advisory group. It was agreed by Tim Wald in November, and Chris Thomas, MHK, wants to see a report by next month, February, the sitting there, on how it's been progressed. The group is intended to support ministers to make decisions on virus policy in a collaborative and transparent manner. Ewan Gawn spoke to Chris Thomas.
Once you're 9-10 months into dealing with a particular issue, you can end up doing things just to defend things that you've done in the past. And I think there's a wide acceptance in Tim Wald that that might be the case now. So what we need is external challenge. We're trying to do that as backbenchers, but obviously we're politicians. We're subject to political opinion. It might be better to actually strengthen the decision making of DHSC and council ministers more generally by actually bringing in some outsiders. The best boards have non-executive directors, and I think we should think of the emergency advisory group that I'm proposing in this motion sort of as being about putting together a good board structure around the current implementation and the current set of policies.
Who would be on that board, and are there enough people out there who aren't already struggling with other COVID challenges to sit on it?
It needs to be a small board because any large committee with large amount of members doesn't work. But perhaps somebody who's experienced with dealing emergencies from a military background, for instance. Perhaps somebody from the wider health community who can offer challenges to vaccination policy and also testing policy and various other responses. Mm. And perhaps somebody from the business community, because I do think the business community is now suffering because of the approach that we have to our borders framework.
What makes you think that the Council of Ministers want to invite further scrutiny? They don't seem to enjoy it in Tyn Wald.
That's true. It's a political environment, Tyn Wald, so that might be the reason. I'm hoping it's the reason. So therefore, to me, setting up a politically neutral emergency advisory group might be a way of dealing with the potential for political struggle. I really don't hope it's... I hope it's not the personalities of the key ministers involved. I do want to believe that they actually will benefit and will appreciate scrutiny, and it could be a good way of neutralising it politically by having it from experts, obvious experts from outside the political process.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
Dr. Ben McCree left Heysham at 2:04 past two this afternoon. I can't see her on the webcams at the moment. She's due in the next 20 minutes or so, just before 6 o'clock, and then out at 7:45, heading for Heysham, arriving there about 11:30 tonight. The overnight departure, 2:15, and back in Douglas tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock.
Like the Steam Packet on Facebook for the latest sailing information.
How did Manx companies prepare for the end of the Brexit transition period without knowing whether there would be a trade deal or not until just a few days before? Paul Corley is a VAT and Customs Director at KPMG on the Isle of Man, and he's been working with Manx businesses who trade with EU nations.
There was a lot of no-deal planning around using these new statutes. and secondary law. And that will have stood them in good stead, because actually, even though we have a trade deal, once you look at the real detail, a lot of the no deal planning will actually still be totally relevant to what we're doing now. It really is a case of the trade deal removing the tariff, as opposed to it providing a much more expansive set of arrangements between the two territories.
Now, given that it is still early days and a lot of people are still going through the processes that they need to, how important is it for businesses to be adaptable at the moment?
It's really important. And that's one of the good news stories, I think, with the Isle of Man, is that in my experience, we have a pretty agile and nimble economy on the Isle of Man. And, you know, if you look at the aviation sector, for example, and the yachting sectors, just as a case in point, well, the businesses that were involved in those sectors set up EU establishments a long time ago to help them deal with cross-border issues. And it's the same with other parts of the Isle of Man economy as well. I guess that way of thinking and that way of operating will grow. You'll see more Isle of Man businesses over time set up an establishment, you know, perhaps, you know, a branch operation somewhere in the EU to help them perform better in the longer term and be more efficient when it comes to EU trade. The way these things work is people adapt. Change comes and you've just got to be able to adapt. And Isle of Man businesses have been doing that for a long time.
Manx Radio's business briefing.
18 minutes before six, HSBC's under pressure to cut its exposure to fossil fuels after a group of investors filed a climate resolution ahead of the bank's annual meeting in April. In October, the lender announced it will become a net zero carbon emissions bank by 2050, but a group of influential investors, including some of Europe's biggest institutions, are calling on HSBC to turn its climate ambitions into actionable targets. The resolution will be put to the shareholders at HSBC's AGM in April and will become binding if 75% vote in its favour. The UK's Financial Conduct Authority is pouring cold water on investing in crypto assets. The UK's financial watchdog says investors should be prepared to lose all their money if their investment values collapse. The warning is the latest in a string from the FCA, and it comes as Bitcoin, the best-known cryptocurrency, hit record highs. Some outfits are drumming up new business by promising high returns for the investment. Last week, Bitcoin, which has been in existence for 12 years, roared to over $40,000, just short of £30,000. And the eye-catching swings in price have drawn in investors, but the FCA's concerns that while the highs are attractive, the inherent volatility of Bitcoin and its rivals mean there's the risk of losses. The FCA points to difficulty in conversion back to cash and, unlike other forms of investment, no associated tangible asset value. Bitcoin's 24-hour change was down 20% in the last 24 hours, and the latest price for Bitcoin, $31,336.63.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsey Crookall.
UK and European stocks closed lower as surging C-19 cases in many countries weighed on investor sentiment. The dollar edged higher. Oil fell on renewed concerns about global fuel demand. Gold eased, damped down by a firm dollar. And JD Sports Fashion rallied after saying it was confident headline pre-tax profit for the year to the 30th of January will be significantly ahead of current market expectations. The numbers now at the close in London: the FTSE 100 down 1% at 6,798. The DAX in Frankfurt closed down 0.8% at 13,936. In New York City at 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones Industrial down 0.25% at 31,037. The NASDAQ Tech Stocks Index up 0.75% at 13,103. And in Chicago, the S&P 500 down 0.33% at 3,810. In the exchange markets, the British pound sterling worth $1 US 35.1, €1 11, and 20 South African rand 94.7. And finally, in commodities, gold up 0.1% at $1,849 per troy ounce, and a barrel of Brent crude oil down 1.25% at $55.56.
With the volatility of global stock markets and the uncertainty of the new normal,
You'd be forgiven for thinking now is not the time to be investing. Well, think again. Times like these offer opportunities to take advantage of lower prices and to benefit from future recovery. Make your new normal an investment in the future. Ramsey Krukor, investment specialists and members of the London Stock Exchange. Call 717171 or visit ramseycrookall.com for more information. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority. Manx Radio's update, powered by Manx Telecom, providing the island's first truly unlimited tariff.
The Manx government's activated what's called a flood hub, a website looking at the dangers facing the Isle of Man in the next 100 years from sea and river flooding. Alongside the options to protect the coastline, it offers a detailed summary of the flood risk to Douglas. Alex Watton.
With the exhortation to be flood prepared, this new government website, or flood hub, includes a detailed assessment of flood risks in the short and long term. In part, it concentrates on the island's capital. The flood mitigation survey, which is described as the first stage in developing protection measures, says there's a good economic case to protect Douglas against fluvial or river flooding. The aim will be to develop a long list of options, make that into a short list, then assess the viability of those suggestions. Included are flood walls, weir removals, and flood storage. There are suggestions for flood storage buns, including in one of the Douglas Rugby Club grounds. The options explored range, in its own words, from do nothing or do the minimum, keep going as now, or do something. Included in the dangers that are possible in the decades ahead, we are told, is the flooding of Pullroe's power station and the resulting disruption caused, as well as an inundation of numerous homes and businesses.
Manx Radio Sport.
Fastamai, Rhiann Evans.
Fastamai, good afternoon. Well, the wheels are in motion to create the Isle of Man's first ever American football flag team. It's hoped training will begin in spring or summer once interest has been registered. Isle of Man flag football is looking for both players and coaches. Anyone interested in getting involved is encouraged to get in touch via their Facebook page, the link to which can be found at manxradio.com on our sports page. Isle of Man Rugby is looking for an island-based England rugby first aid educator. The role is to enable Manx clubs and staff to meet the first aid provision standards for all matches and training sessions, with new laws coming into place for all clubs from September. In order to do this, Isle of Man Rugby requires a tutor who will deliver the England Rugby Emergency Aid and Rugby Union course. If you or someone you know have the relevant qualifications and are interested in learning more about the role, you're asked to get in touch with Isle of Man Rugby via their Facebook page. Isle of Man FA is encouraging girls and boys alike to design their own dream football kit. The organisation has released two templates on its Facebook page, one for juniors, another for adults, to help players along in their creation. The kit can be for your local club or school, favourite professional team, the Isle of Man national side, or a totally new club, with some examples being Hogwarts Hurricanes or the Superhero Soccer Stars. You can download the templates from the Isle of Man FA Facebook page. Organisers would love to see your work if you do get involved. Further afield, and Trump National in Bedminster has been stripped of the US PGA Championship in 2022 as its organisers felt using the course as host would be detrimental. The PGA of America voted to terminate the agreement on Sunday. More than 80% of people in Japan believe the Tokyo Olympics should be cancelled or postponed. The country is currently dealing with a surge in COVID-19 cases, prompting the government last week to call a state of emergency. The games are due to start on the 23rd of July. And in football, Marine boss Neil Young has praised his players' efforts in their third-round FA Cup defeat to Tottenham. The eighth-tier side, which includes Manxman and former Air United player Niall Cummins, were beaten 5-0 at home to the Premier League High Flyers in the biggest gap between two teams at this stage of the competition.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre. Open as normal during this circuit break.
11 minutes to 6, one flight. It's the 10 to 5 from Liverpool to Liverpool. Left a minute late. It's back at 20 to 7 this evening. Ben McCree hasn't arrived yet in Douglas Harbour. Take a look at the webcams on the Manx Radio community page at manxradio.com. And spot her when she arrives in Cronk Road in Port St Mary's, closed for gas main replacement. Westlands in Peel, closed for demolition, refurb and extension works. And Station Park in Colby's closed for curb replacement work going on. Castle Quay and Douglas, parking suspended on Castle Quay for the first three parking spaces for building work. And do be aware, on Douglas Promenade, Church Road Marina is closed until the 31st of March. Also, there's a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit. Lock Promenade Highway remains one-way northbound, and the walkway between the War Memorial and the Bottleneck car park is now back in use as a pedestrian route. Parking's no longer available in that area. In addition, pedestrians are asked to stick to designated rules, routes only. And if you want to check on everything on travel, go to manxradio.com. On our news tab, there's a travel tab, and you can find out everything you need to know.
Quayside Tyres use Xmas to sanitise all vehicles and is available for your home or workplace. For tyre requirements, we can come to your drive or workplace with no call-out charge during the circuit break or arrange collection and return. Call 66-4417.
And still showing. Fog on the mountain on the Matrix signs. The Brexit trade agreement could bring the chance for Manx fishermen to take back control of waters and catch more fish. Well, that's the hope of the Manx Fish Producers Organisation, with EU boats set to give up 25% of their UK catch by 2026. Ewan Gorn spoke to the chief exec of the Manx Fish Producers Organisation, Dr. David Beard.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that, first of all, it's good that a Brexit deal's been signed, because that means we won't have tariffs, unless things change, but we won't have tariffs to start with, for sure, which is a real bonus to us. There is a lot of paperwork to complete with the new processes that we have to adhere to be able to get our goods into the EU. Some species, more paperwork than others, and there will be delays, no doubt, at the ports for the first few weeks. We're expecting a bit different in January. So we're glad that the deal's been signed.
Well, in the spirit of taking back control of waters, is there an opportunity now for the Isle of Man to make a case to the UK and say, look, you've tried to do this from the EU, we wouldn't mind trying to do the same from you guys?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same argument, really. I mean, the UK wanted to take back control of their waters, and the Isle of Man should want to do the same. So I think the arguments are similar. There has been a consultation from DEFRA in UK, which was completed in December, and both DEFRA here on the Isle of Man and the fish industry here on the Isle of Man replied to that consultation. And that was all about how new quota or additional quota could be used. And one of the questions that they asked was about whether it should be regionalised, so that you get the quota which is in your zone. So that you can actively fish for the species that are in your waters, and obviously that's what we want. We want quota for the fish that are in our waters and in the surrounding wider Irish Sea.
Manx Radio's update is available as a daily podcast. Simply subscribe for free online at manxradio.com or via Apple, Google or Spotify.
2021 is a general election year on the Isle of Man, and this coming September, the House of Keys will go for re-election. And the chair of Manx Labour says it's pushing for progressive reform, as she became the first candidate to declare for this year's general election. Sarah Maltby is the daughter of former politician David Cretney, and she's announced she's standing in Mr. Cretney's old constituency, Douglas South. All 24 seats of the Keys will be contested when the ballot takes place later this year. No date set. It should be September. Mrs. Maltby spoke to our local democracy reporter, Chris Cave.
7 years ago, you'd Google Manx Labour Party and you'd get a whole bunch of pictures of David Cretney. And I think people thought, well, it's only him really in the party. Since then, we've had massive change. We've got so many people now that are involved in the Manx Labour Party who are all pushing for progressive reform.
Other members of the party have been particularly vocal on the issue of housing and say we're currently in a housing crisis. Is this also an issue which is high on your agenda?
Housing has been a problem since day one. I've heard about housing and housing problems for 35 years. It's always been something that's been a crucial and important priority for the Manx Labour Party. It's easy to sort of say you're going to fight poverty and fight homelessness, but what does that really mean? I sort of want to drill down on what does that mean and how I can actually do something to make a change. It's easy to say you can fight poverty, I want to do it, but why are we relying on food banks? That shouldn't be happening. It's easy to sort of say homelessness, I want to get rid of it, I want to eradicate it, but what does that mean? Does it mean we need to upskill people? Do we need to help them get a therapist that is more sustainable, that's going to be there for the person more than just changing every 2 minutes? People are fed up with feeling like politicians can say these big words and make these big statements, but really they don't actually have any substance to it.
So what would you do then? What's the substance to your policies and your policy aspirations?
Well, the fact that I've worked with young people and adults, vulnerable adults, for 13 years plus means that I come with a little bit more experience in that area. I actually can say, well, there are good bits to it, there are bad bits to it, and we can actually try and work together to get a better solution rather than just saying the whole system's completely broken. Let's see what we can do, what is salvageable, because at the end of the day, we're talking about real people here. Do people need to have upskilling in their CV? Do they need to help to get themselves back into training, education? Let's talk about real things that we can actually do rather than just talk about the things that are wrong.
That's it for Update tonight. Back 5:30 tomorrow evening. Update is compiled from the resources of Manx Radio's news department, the biggest 7-day-a-week news team on the Isle of Man, thanks to newsreader Lewis Foster, producer Alex Watton. If you're listening to this as a podcast, by the way, thank you for being part of the Isle of Man's most subscribed to news podcast. Your visit is very much appreciated. And of course, if you're not yet on the bus, Update's available as a podcast via Apple, Google, Smart Speaker or Spotify. Details at manxradio.com or your app store. Stick around for Chris Kinley for the COVID update at 7 and the greatest hits on Earth.